I hope that is our story. That is a song that we sing, praising God all the day long. But is that our story? Is it our song? This morning is about praising God. Praising God for 25 years of ministry in this community. 25 years of reaching down and picking people up out of hard times and out of spiritual hurt and out of disappointment and bringing them into and through a relationship with God. Today is about praising God for vision. Today is about praising God for I don't have a better way of saying it than guts and determination. I can imagine that starting a church, a congregation of God's people, it's a daunting task. There's a lot of unknowns, and there's a lot of worry. And I know the Bible tells us not to worry, but we do, don't we? And there's a lot of concern, and there's a lot of hand-wringing about, is this going to work? And you want to do a great job, and you want it to be successful. When I was a kid, my parents were part of a church plant in Birmingham, Alabama, the campus Church of Christ on the campus of Jefferson Christian Academy, which is now the Heritage Place Church. And as a kid, I didn't understand all that was going on. All I knew is that we just got to go and play at the church a lot. I know that we got to go and hang out at the construction site, and I know we got to do all that, but I wasn't really stressed out about it. But I know that my parents and many others, well, they were stressed because it was their life. It was their story. Every conversation that they had, it seemed like that church came up. Everyone they talked to, that church came up. An opportunity to serve. We really need you. You could do a great work. All of those things. It was their story. And I praise God that it is our story here this morning. In Psalm chapter 111 tells us, praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord with all of my heart in the council of the upright in the assembly. Great are the works of the Lord. They're pondered by all who delight in them. Glorious and majestic are His deeds. His righteousness endures forever. He has caused His wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. He provides food for those who fear Him. He remembers His covenant forever. He has shown His people the power of His works. He is giving them the lands of other nations. The works of His hands are faithful and just. All His precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever, enacted in faithfulness and uprightness. He provided redemption for His people. He ordained His covenant forever. Holy and awesome is His name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow His precepts have good understanding. To Him alone belongs eternal praise. This morning we are here to talk about, we are here to remember the past and be thankful and honor the past. And we are here this morning to look to the future. And I will tell you this, that Highland Hills Church of Christ has a glorious future ahead. Whether we build any more buildings, whether we do anything else, whether I know this, we have a glorious future because it is a future in Christ. But more than anything, we are here this morning to praise God for what He has done. Because it did take a lot of guts and determination. It took a lot of commitment and patience. It took a lot of things. But everything that it took to get us from where this church was non-existent 25 years ago to here, it took God. And He was faithful. and He is just. And He has honored the commitment of His people. But this morning I want to talk about out of what Psalm 111 shows us about people who praise God. The first thing about praising God for what He has done is realizing that praising God isn't just an activity. Praising God isn't just something that we do whenever it hits our mind or whenever we have a big special occasion or on Sunday or when we've got a great meal prepared, which BTW, that's by the way for those of you who aren't tech savvy. I have a lot of children in my home, and so I know all those things, like LOL does not mean lots of love. You don't send sorry about the hear about your grandmother in the hospital, LOL. That does not mean lots of love. It means laugh out loud. Learned that one the hard way. Speaking of food, BTW, we have more food than we have chairs. Okay? So if you're wondering, if you're scooched in this morning, there's plenty of food. And we're not just praising God when there's plenty of food. We're not just praising God when it's convenient. Praising God isn't an activity that we start and we stop. According to Scripture and what the Bible tells us about those who really knew is that praising God is a lifestyle. It isn't what we do, it's who we are. It isn't something that we start and we stop, we choose to do, and then we, you know, run out of time, so we go to something else. Praising God defines our life, and everything that we do has to do with, I'll praise God. The Bible says, I'll praise Him when I get up and when I go to sleep, when I walk, when I'm in my home, and when I'm out. God knows me, He sees me, and I will give Him glory and honor on all of those occasions. Praising God isn't something we do, it's who we are. And the Bible tells us that people who praise God have very specific characteristics, very specific attributes that this passage tells us about. It says, I will praise the Lord with all of my heart in the council of the upright and assembly. Great are the works of the Lord. They're pondered by all who delight in Him. People who praise God remember what He has done. It is important for us to spend time thinking about the past. Now, Scripture tells us anyone who puts their hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom. Ecclesiastes says, don't long for the good old days, but look forward to what God has in store for us. And I'm here telling you this morning that it's important for us to remember the past, but not longing for the good old days or not wanting the life that we've left behind. But we need to remember the past to remember the good that God has done. Because let's face it, life isn't always that great, isn't it? Sometimes there's hiccups. Sometimes there's bumps in the road. Sometimes there's circumstances that bring us down, that cause us to be depressed or angered or disappointed. And the Bible says that we are to remember all the good that God has done. Perspective is everything when it comes to serving God. All things might be bad right now. But man, God is so good. He always brings us through. Oh, things might be bad right now, but God has promised us hope and a future. Oh, things might be great right now, but you know, if we get distracted and we start taking the credit, if we start doing it our way instead of giving glory to God, then we might lose our way. Perspective is everything. Perspective is such a motivating factor for us as we try, as we endeavor to continue to follow God. And Joshua chapter 14 and verse 12 is a great example of what God, what He wants us to understand about perspective. And in Joshua chapter 14, it is the story of Caleb. Now, if you're not familiar with this portion of Scripture, this is when the Israelites are finally getting to go into the promised land. They were told way back in Genesis 11 to Abraham that, you know, I will make you a great nation and you will own some land and I will give you a great land and you'll have places to live and all this will be great. And so then he goes all the way through his history and they're enslaved and they have nothing. And then they go through the Exodus and then they go into the land and they find out that, well, there's giants there and, you know, we can't conquer it. And Joshua and Caleb say, yes, we can. And then they say, oh, no, we can't. And, you know, they wander for 40 years. God says, every one of y'all who doubted are going to die in the desert, and I'm going to raise up a generation that's got some faith. Finally, they're going into the promised land. And Caleb was 40 years old when he goes to see the land for the first time. He's 40 years old when he says, we can take the land. And he's 40 years old when his voice is quieted by a doubting majority. And he's 40 years old when they start wandering for 40 years. And then he's 80. And he's been faithful to God all this time. And they enter into the land. And, you know, he could have taken it easy. He could have said, you know, I've done my time. Boy, I've done my leadership bit, and I've tried to bring these people around and all this, and right now I'm just ready to get in there, find the first piece of ground that I can find, build me a little hut. Maybe there's a little stream right there, and I'm just going to spend my glory years fishing. And nobody would have blamed him. But the Bible says that Caleb said, you know what? I want that hill country I saw 40 years ago. Well, Caleb, that hill country is occupied by some of the fiercest, most ferocious, warring people that we've ever seen or heard of. And he says, I don't care. I saw it 40 years ago. God promised it to me. I'm just as strong today as I was back then. And I'm getting my hill country. He went up that hill and he drove those people out and he took hold of what God had promised him. And I'm telling you this, to still be strong after all those years, well, there's only one explanation for that. His strength isn't found from within. His strength is found in Ephesians chapter 5 where it says, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power and put on the full armor of God. When we remember what God has done, what He has promised, what He says our future is going to look like, it puts today, right now, the good, the bad, the up, the down, it puts it all in perspective and it motivates us not to be content with where we are, but to be challenged to get where God has promised we can go. If we want to live a life of praise, we'll remember what He has done. If we want to live a life of praise, we will also utilize what He provides. In Psalms 111, it says that, you know, God is gracious and good and He is giving them lands, the lands of other nations. He's giving His people lands to use, lands to live on. What do you do with the land that God has given you? Well, you build houses on it. You till it up. You farm it. You use it, you harvest the resources, you utilize, you use what God has given for God's purposes. At no time did they just say, hey, God has given us this land, so we're just gonna all stand around and look at it. And no, nobody go in there. Don't put footprints on the brand new land. Don't do that. Well, don't chop the trees down in the land. Well, what are we gonna build houses? Oh, we're not gonna change it at all. God has given us so much. And it isn't to store up and to be proud over. It isn't to keep in pristine condition. God has given us what we have, a legacy, examples of building, resources, talents, all of those things that God has given that we're here this morning praising Him for. He's given them to us to use for His purpose. Just like Jesus tells us in Matthew 25, 14 through 30, it's the parable of the talents. And in that scenario, talents are money. But for us, talents aren't just money. Talents are money, but they're actually talents and they're opportunities and they're possessions and they're all of these things that we have. It's anything that is at our disposal that we can expand kingdom economy with. And one person that has some buries it, doesn't want to waste it, doesn't want to use it, doesn't want to lose it, doesn't want to wrinkle it, doesn't want to dog ear that stuff, doesn't want anything to happen to it. Another person uses it and multiplies it and brings more talents, more opportunity, more kingdom economy. And another one does even more and expands the kingdom even greater. And God goes and He says, you who have used what I gave you, you've utilized the opportunities, the wealth, the resources, all you who have taken it out of the box and scuffed it up and used it and expanded it. Well done, my good and faithful servant. And the one who buried it said, you wicked, lazy servant. See, God sees through the facade of laziness. Do you know why we want to keep something nice and new and neat? Because it's easier, isn't it? We don't have to replace it once it tears up. You don't have to clean it once it, you know, oh, don't do that in the building because, oh, it's going to tear it up. We got to get new carpet. Don't do that. We got to clean it. Oh, we can't have that event because, you know, we got to rearrange the chairs and I'm going to be up there all night putting all the chairs back to where it's supposed to go. Oh, we can't use the van. No, can't do, no. Use it. God's given us this land. Let's till it up. Let's chop down some trees and let's build some buildings to the glory of God. Let's use what He has blessed us with. People finally who praise God as a lifestyle acknowledge why He blesses. God doesn't bless because we're so good. God doesn't bless so that we can say, oh, look how great we are. God doesn't bless for any of those reasons. He says the fear of the Lord, understanding God, is the beginning of wisdom. Fearing God is all about knowing God. It's not being scared of Him. It's understanding God's purpose. And God does not want to be famous. I think a lot of us mistake that and we think, oh, God just, you know, we need to talk about Him and we need to put billboards and we need to this and make movies and great and all that's good. But God doesn't want to be famous. God's goal is not to be the most famous name out there. God wants to be known. There's a big fat difference. There's a big difference between being famous and being known. And when we fear the Lord, we understand His purpose. And we understand the purpose of Highland Hills isn't just to do all of this stuff, but it's to make God known among the nations. It's to take people from death to introduce them to life. It's to take people from damnation and a life, an eternity outside of God, and usher them into a relationship with God that is called salvation, redemption. That's what it's about. When we praise God, when we live a life of praise to God, God's not just famous, He's known. So here at Highland Hills, we have some blessings. We have been blessed tremendously with opportunity, with material possessions with which we can praise God, with which we can make Him known. And we got here, all of us who are members of this church, members of this congregation. And by the way, if you're not a member of the Highland Hills Church of Christ, you can be. We are currently taking applications. We are accepting new members. So if you want to be part of something big, if you want to be a part of a God movement in Tullahoma and the surrounding areas, then all you have to do is keep coming here and we will give you an opportunity to use the talents and all of the things that God has given you to praise Him and to usher people from darkness to light. So Phil, please join us. But we got here today because of the commitment, because of the vision, because of the tenacity, because of a generation. But we will only continue if another generation steps up. We can only go forward. See, the generation that wrote their name on the note to this building, well, they're not going to be around forever. The generation that got us here can't take us the next 25, 40 years. It's going to take another generation saying, I'll put my name on the line. I'll put my time on the line. I'll put my concern on the line. I'll put my family on the line. Here am I, send me.